Hey there, thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest podcast. If you love this podcast, please consider joining our Patreon. Your donation helps support our show, and in return, we give you 4 bonus episodes every month. If you can't support the show financially, then we urge you to harass your friends and share the show with them. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It actually really helps us. Without further ado, on to the show. Welcome to the Mummy Dearest Podcast, a podcast where we used to talk about the mummy, but now we talk about other movies too.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Mummy Dearest Podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s. And today, I'm Zach Millen.
I'm Sloane Steele. And today we have with us a very special guest, Mr. Blake Lee Thornton.
Yay.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All that to little old me.
And such a trying week of Bravo pop culture.
Child, it keeps going. It's like it's updating up to the point of now.
Every time I put it, like I do a TikTok, it's like the minute I upload it, another bombshell is released.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Where do we stand?
As of right now, we've seen Raquel's face with yes. Sheena's fist mark in it.
But no, as an update, there's actually one saying that whole black guy is fake. I'm not sure who that came from, but I was literally just on Instagram.
Her best friend. I think her best friend was like, it's not real.
It's not real. Yeah, they're saying it's not real.
This is insane. She has a restraining order against her, but the trial isn't until like the 29th of March, but the reunion films the 23rd. So like she's not getting out of filming. It's like crazy.
Well, they have her in a separate room. They've done Zooms before. I mean,
Zoom it. I know.
They had reunions through COVID, so they can work around this.
I would Zoom in and be like, oh, my service is really bad. Like, I would fake it. Like, I'd pretend. I would be so scared to show up to that. Oh, yikes. Okay, so Blakely, before we get into this, right off the bat, we just discovered that you are in a fashion house studio, and it's right before Oscars. And I just found out, like, bombshell for me. I mean, I think you can tell. Obviously, I'm very into fashion by the way I'm dressed.
We all are. I'm in a situation too.
All of us. I just came from my kid's soccer game, so it's really bleak for me. I'm a soccer mom now. It's scary. Anyway,
actresses are soccer moms too. You know.
Right. Thank you so much. So I just found out that actors and actresses don't just slap on the dress that they are given the day of. They can put anything on. It can be a surprise.
No, there's contract girls. Like when you have like the Kristen Stewarts of the world who like have to wear Chanel or like Margot Robbie, where like you're a contract, like, or like Lea Theron and Jennifer Lawrence with Dior. It's like that brand is paying them millions of dollars and giving the peso. The makeup, the beauty, the TV commercials go to every single, they are contracted to be there. And like that's what you must wear. Those obviously work for the money, but they don't work to build a fashion profile. Then there's the tier of girls that have these A-list celebrity stylists, like a La Roche or a Jason Bolden or a Cara Welch, where their stylists will pull from multiple designers and have fittings after fittings after fittings. So these are major moments for them now. It's not like the 90s where like Hilary Swank just bought a dress in Paris and won an Oscar in it. Like, there's a whole factory machine around it. Wow. And people pull for like, oh, like we're getting texts up until now being like, oh, I have so-and-so from John. I have so-and-so from Vanity Fair. And just because they take the clothing and borrow it doesn't mean they're going to wear it. You literally don't find out until the day of or hours before until pictures start coming in, whether they've worn something for the event.
They're getting things tailor-made to their bodies and like won't even wear it. And then
there's like much like Mario, there are levels. Like,
yeah.
A-list people will come in and say, hey, we were requesting custom. Custom takes weeks, or if they're rushing, you know, extra money. But because of now in the days, because of the attention-based economy built by Instagram, a lot of people think, oh, I can come and request custom 5 days before, which is a physical impossibility or just not going to happen. But that's why a brand like Dolce & Gabbana, even though they are, you know, misogynist, racist, homophobic trash buckets
yeah
continue to be popular, because when stylists come with requests last minute, they are incredibly well capitalized and they can make clothing that is serviceable, that looks good in little to no time, not only for free, but sometimes paying the stylist and the talent to wear it. So it's the late stage capitalism of it all that keeps them around.
Why can't we get them canceled? Like, let's get, like,
because we live in capitalism.
Yeah.
Because it's profits over people, maybe we've crossed the threshold.
It's like nobody knows about how horrible they are. I just feel like everybody
does.
They don't care.
Everybody does. They don't care.
It's so insane. It's so insane.
We don't care. It's like with Jack, like just to bring it back to Vanderpump for 1 second, like we canceled Jax. We hate Jax. Now we're like, you know what? Come on back, because we need to hear what
all of them say. We're so like, bring Stassi and Kristen back. Yeah. It's like everyone wants all these people back on their screens.
It's
all
like Dolce and Gabbana is trash, but also like, do they turn a look? Like sometimes a look
I don't know.
Is,
do they?
Yeah, sometimes
with no discernible viewpoint, but I mean they turn a serviceable, well-made look very quickly.
Sure.
If you want to show up and you know you're gonna look good, like makes sense. Like I get it, but that's so
how embarrassing to say it on the like the red carpet though.
I know. I'd be like, I don't know who this is.
Well, they all ignore it. You know, I'll go full tilt and like, you know, even like you see like Beyonce performing her queerest, blackest album ever in a place where it's illegal to be gay, wearing Dolce & Gabbana. Like, why does it happen? Because they paid her stylist.
That is so crazy. You can kind of like put anything to the side if there's a nice price tag on it. It's like, what do you
exactly.
want?
Exactly. Like you the want Christian her- are like, yeah. as long as the check clears, as long as the check clears.
Can I ask you a question? And if you want to go in on this or not go in on this, you can. We can cut it. You can just tell amongst us. How do you feel about Christian Siriano?
I don't. I feel like the opposite of love isn't hate. He was the first one that was really going to design for a girl that wasn't a size zero, because up until T-minus yesterday, and it's coming back in style tomorrow, being real thin was the only option. So if you were like Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, no one was going to dress you, because it's just like, you're not a size zero. She's a beautiful woman, but she's got them things.
Yeah.
She got them tiggles.
And people were not working around that in any capacity. So he was kind of known for dressing almost at the forefront of body positivity by default. He does love a taffeta. I will say that.
He loves taffeta. He loves a vegan.
He legitimized the reality competition show for everyone else. True. He's the Carrie Underwood of Project Runway.
Wow.
And without Christian Siriano, we probably don't get Next in Fashion on Netflix being revived after being on life support with Gigi Hadid. We probably don't get making the cut with Heidi Klum. You know, he walked so they could run.
That's really beautiful. You're right.
No, he used taffeta, so future titties could have support.
Taffeta honestly, titties. That's Sloan and I's clothing line, taffeta titties.
Anyway, so why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your background? I found you on TikTok just being so funny and delightful.
Funny and so fun on TikTok. Funny.
Born and raised in Dallas, Texas, as we previously discussed, was a competitive tennis player. Ooh. Then around,
is that why your nails look like that?
No. I guess subconsciously, maybe.
Yeah.
Around 16, they were like, you need to either like go to tennis school to be competitive for college scholarships, or you can like, you know, live a normal life. And I think because tennis kids either become Maria Sharapova or like meth heads, if you have that big of a pressure cooker, I was like, I'm gonna like go to school with like normal people. So then I switched to playing football my junior year of high school, got recruited for playing football, played football at University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, which was a comedy of errors, being like a young little closeted college football player.
My God.
Thought I wanted to be Gordon Gekko, so I majored in finance, worked in finance for 2.5 years, hated that. Hated it. It was
you loved being around toxic masculinity. You just wanted to be like, that was like,
especially during the first financial crisis of our generation. You know, I was like, oh, maybe we'll only have one of these, and I'm like 22. But like, you know, luckily we're like rolling into $7 coffees in the second one. So I've had a lot of fun life to live between COVID. Like, you know, COVID is the bread of my life switch, and like. The financial crisis, or the meat, or the reverse.
The reverse. Actually, you did an inside out sandwich, but you know what? That's what we're all going to be eating soon. So I get it.
Like, pretty much.
That's crazy. So you were a closeted closeted football playing finance bro. And then you were like, I'm out. Wow. I'm done with this. So what was your first job? Yeah, you're like done. So where did you go? Yeah, after college.
I started working after college with Bloomberg Financial, which was actually funny because Mayor Bloomberg had been the commencement speaker. So Mayor Bloomberg was the commencement speaker at my graduation. And I was initially going to work for Lehman Brothers. And then my dad was like, you should sign the offer. And I was like, no, they're the biggest bank ever. That'd be crazy. And then they went bankrupt. And then I went to live with my cousin who lived in the city at the time because she was working for MoMA. I met Mayor Bloomberg at the VIP section of MoMA party in the garden. He said, what do you do? I said, I liked your speech. He said, what do you do? I said, nothing, because the world's imploded. And he gave me a card. And I got my first job at Bloomberg Financial through meeting Mayor Bloomberg. So
that was crazy.
Quite interesting. My little, like, you know.
Oh my God. What, like, serendipity. Michael
B. story.
And then you showed up and you were like, actually, you guys, I fucking hate this. So I'm going to go.
Yeah, actually, hard pass.
Yeah. And this isn't for
hard pass
me.
All this.
It's a lot of numbers here, and I don't like that.
Too many numbers and egos, but they did have the best snack area of any job I've ever had.
Tell
it was like a full-on pantry, like
a Kardashian pantry.
Oh yeah, it was like Christianer's kitchen. It was like a Christianer's kitchen, but like three times the size. Like
that's so.
Every
nice.
Time something good happened in finance, we'd all have champagne. I don't know why. I was just like drunk the second half of the day so often.
It was they all are. Yeah, all the bros are.
It was wild. But left there, started working at Ralph Lauren in digital brand marketing and strategy. So I'm like, I've been a fashion baby for a while. Mm-hmm. Found a creative group of friends, came out and dropped all my finance bro friends from football unceremoniously. Like, literally just cleared the deck with them. And then actually was working for my own marketing for my content production company for a little bit. Then I worked for Fuck Jerry. I was actually the managing director at Fuck Jerry, the agency, right after Fyre Festival happened. I will say that. That
you
was
have
fun.
Really been, I don't even know what to talk about. Like,
yeah, you've
what?
Been through it.
Are you okay? Dead. Are you okay?
No. Never.
Oh, no,
never.
That's why he's on TikTok making funny videos,
never,
obviously.
Never. You know, TikTok is my therapist because, you know, my doctor doesn't cover it. Doesn't cover mental health because, you know, it's not real.
I don't know how you'd find a therapist to talk about all. I mean, you've been through it.
So I actually was there at the time when they were filming the Fyre Festival documentary because my thought process was, oh, this man defrauded you for $500,000, but you're a bunch of, like, white bros. Like, nobody cares. He defrauded an entire black and brown population.
Yeah.
What you do have is hundreds of thousands of hours of this man being a sociopath, and that's worth something. And it was worth several million dollars to Netflix.
Yeah. Woo! I loved that documentary. I loved that.
So, like, that was absolutely wild. Billy was, like, trying to come to the office to, like, steal the footage. He is a true storm of sociopath. Like, it was wild.
That's so exciting. I would live to be in your skin in that era. That's incredible.
But after that, I was kind of getting tired of being the culture police because I was the only black and or gay employee there, which is a bunch of, like, white bros from Delaware trying to be on the edge of culture, which is impossible when you're four white bros from Delaware. So I was like, oh, no, you can't use that accent. Oh, you should listen to women. Oh, like, it became a lot of, like, white CEOs from the Club Cornell lacrosse team being like, we want some black imagery, some gay imagery. And it's like, all that money, I'm like using my cultural knowledge to like make money for like someone I would want to punch in the face. So like,
and then they made that guy suck dick for that water.
Wow, you just like unlocked a memory which I didn't need. It should have stayed
far back.
I definitely have repressed that until just now. So I'd like to thank you so much for bringing that back.
I'm so sorry, that poor man.
What is it like to be the all-encompassing diversity hire? I mean, you really just ticked all their boxes there.
You're just angry. You're just trying not to physically assault someone to like fulfill the diversity hire loop. It's like a trap.
How many eye rolls, like an hour? Like your
for me?
Where your eyes just constantly rolling, like
constantly rolling, teeth constantly gritted. I will say they had a podcast room in the back, and Hannah Berner used to record her podcast out of that back room.
I just DM'd her to see if she wanted to come on the podcast. That's weird that you just brought her up.
I did her podcast last October. Her and her husband Dusty. But
so fun.
So the way we first met each other was Jira Media was trying to do like Snapchat shit. It was about like reactions to things happening on the internet. And me and Hannah did like a couple of episodes together and had good chemistry. And afterwards, she was like, "I'm so glad we got to do this." And I was like, "What?" She was like, "Because you just, I was afraid of you." I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You walk in with like a backpack and a leather jacket, not talking to anybody, like darting eyes." She's like, "It was just an incredibly well dressed, attractive man that looked angry all the time. And I felt like if I spoke to you, you were going to just read me for filth." And I was like, "Wow, you can tell all that on the inside." And she was like, "Yes."
Yeah.
I was like, "I was ready to snap like Nicki Minaj style anybody who spoke to me all day." So that was.
That's so intense. I would hate working there as me. I can't imagine working there as you and just what you probably had to endure. Making money for other people off of your own like IP is so annoying. I hate it so much.
It's just really strange. And for me, it was like using like black and brown queer cultural capital to like make money for like douchey like bros.
You're like, I'm not gonna do another death drop for you guys. So sorry.
Like, yeah, exactly. What's Drag Race? You're like convincing me that like Bad Bunny or not Bad Bunny, it was J Balvin, convincing me that like J Balvin was like a cultural force in like 2017 when he had like 40 million Instagram followers. I was like, Fruit by the Foot would be so lucky. That's what would be going. Is the Latinx Pharrell like, but more famous? Like, I don't think you get that. And they're like, who is he? Oh, I'll listen to him. Just like, y'all suck. I tried to convince them Cardi B was a thing before Cardi B. I tried to convince them to do a cooking show with Anthony when the first season of Queer Eye had premiered. And they were like, is he gonna be big? I was like,
you're like, why am I here? Like, if you're not listening, like, what are we doing?
And like, how many times do I have to be right?
to start
paying attention.
You're like, I understand, like, if you don't trust me, like, right away, but like, I've been right 17 times this week.
Yeah, that's so
exactly.
Tough. That's really. But tough.
After, so basically, after being there for a while, I told my boss, who was actually a very nice, well-meaning white man, I was like, "Hey, I need to do something for the culture. I'm going to set myself on fire, like Balenciaga style from like, you know, like
American Horror Story,
from American Horror Story Coven. Yeah. I'm going to scream Balenciaga in that Soho loft and take everybody down with me.
That's fair.
We could all be in hell together, like I was every day emotionally.
I can't fathom working there. It's crazy."
So I started a company called Civil Jewelry, which I'm actually wearing now. We still do a couple bespoke pieces there. The point of it was where 20% of profits were invested in minority and female founders. That way we can see more women and queer people coming in and having ideas for marketing rather than, again, the Cornell Club lacrosse team.
I love that.
Like start with business school, bro.
Yo, bro. Penn, what's up, Warden?
You went to talk. I went to Wharton. That's embarrassing.
No, it's okay. My best friend David, he was on a finance bro ski trip this weekend, and I was staying with his wife at their house in Miami, and I saw a big long Wharton ski scarf that he had left behind, and I was like, "Oh, David doesn't have the I'm an '80s bully scarf with him. That's so sad. Should we FedEx it to him?" Like,
very ski school.
What is with Wharton? Like, Wharton bros are so. They're just so much.
Can I tell you, there's one story from when I was like 25. We were in New York and I was working at Ralph Lauren at that point. My friends were still working in finance at like Citibank. And they were complaining about their bonuses. And one guy was like, "I got so fucked. Like, I can't believe it. My new year bonus was like $110,000. I was like, $110,000 American doll hairs? I was like, "You're 25. I was like, "You have no marketable skills.
None.
You make nothing. You add nothing to culture. You are a legalized gambler for a specific sector that is wildly overpaid.
Yeah.
You don't shut the fuck up.
That is
brunch right now. And pay for this alcohol."
If I received a bonus that large, I would like truly just faint.
Wait. What year were you at Wharton?
2004 and 2008.
Do you know David Resnick?
Probably. It sounds familiar. I was in an emotional and like physical blur.
Okay.
I was just kind of like in survival mode. So like, I'm sure I approached him. I could have done something terrible to him. I have no idea.
I'll ask him. He's a Facebook group. I'll ask him because I feel like you all know each other somehow. Wharton
there
Bros.
Was a Facebook group called "Why is Blakely such an asshole?" Like while I was there, so I'm sure.
Well, he doesn't know how to use tech, so he wasn't behind that because I don't think he knows how to even like log into Facebook. But did you ever make any Facebook hate groups in retaliation?
I actually took over the administration of that group and made it fans of Blakely.
You've just been like an influencer this whole time.
I feel like TikTok brings together all of my marketable skills, which is like an extensive vocabulary and an intense opinion about anything I see.
When did you start TikToking?
I started in December of 2021. My friend who was a publicist was like, you should go on TikTok. And I was like, that's stupid. I'm 35, 36, however old I was at the time. I'm 37 now. I was like, I'm an elder millennial. That's fucking dumb. And she was like, you say ridiculous, quotable things every day. Just say them to the camera.
Yeah.
And so at the time, she like sent me several things. So she sent me one of Tinks. And she was like, you know, rich mom stuff, rich mom. And I was like, this is great. Like, rich mom is interesting, but like, you know who really knows shit? The rich gunkle. Like, the rich mom knows where to like get an expensive margarita. The rich gunkle knows like where they're serving underground margaritas at an after party served by shirtless waiters with like a jet to Ibiza. Like, that's rich gunkle. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm gonna like bring rich gunkle energy. So the mini mic was actually initially a parody of Tinks, and it just became a slight signature for me.
I love the mini mic.
And then I think one of my first TikToks was I was reacting to the show Pam and Tommy that had come on during like Christmas 2021. And I was annoyed by the anachronistic song choices. Like, there was one time when they're like in her trailer, like singing Love Fool, which came out for the Cardigans in like 1997. But I knew that this scandal was firmly 1995. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who's doing this, Hulu? Like, where's your budget, Disney? Or then they played Lynn Steal My Sunshine, which is a child of TRL I firmly remember.
I listen to that song once a week on my bike, so it's fine.
Like the Pam and Tommy, you know, whole debacle did not happen when Lynn Steal My Sunshine was out. I mean, the coup de grace was when they were walking out of the airport, like in the paparazzi scene, and she's carrying a Chloe bag that I knew did not become popularized until 2006.
See, so why do they do this? Yeah. Why do shows do that? Take the time. Make it a period piece. It's a period piece. Be period correct.
So I became infuriated did this thing of like all the early aughts bags that had, you know, us in a chokehold. And I called it homosexual sense memory because just I remember them. And that viewed like 300,000 or 400,000 times, which actually became the title of all the red carpet stuff I do now, which is called homosexual sense memory, because I don't have an academic education in fashion, so I have a gay man's sense memory of every,
which is way better. It's way better.
Something on my soul, and it's much more accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and immediate.
Immediate, visceral, right. Very visceral reaction.
No one has to. I just be knowing. So that's
what I'm saying. Who else knows about? Who else knows? Like when Hobo International was brought to life from Lauren Conrad.
Exactly, or how, you know, Rachel Zoe kind of ushered in the entire era of the celebrity stylist.
It's true.
Rachel Zoe.
I love that show so much.
Show was captivating, but like I never wanted to dress like that. I think because I was like, maybe I was hiding a part of who I truly was. Like, I didn't, the boho style never really resonated with me, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But like, I was glued. I was captivated by the Rachel Zoe of it all. All the little Zoe clones, like really super skinny Nicole Richie with the big Balenciaga. Like, I loved it. I ate it up.
The Balenciaga bag, the Chloe bucket bags, the
huge blazers,
the Louis Vuitton Murakami bag that was like the white with all the things on it, like
the Juicy tops.
Couture of it all. It was wild. 2000, and it's all coming back. It's all coming back.
Have you been to a Nordstrom?
No, if you go today, remember the Stam bag that was the Marc Jacobs signature bag?
Yeah, I saw it at Nordstrom.
No, but they just did a new campaign for the Stam bag to relaunch it. It was like the It bag, fully embracing nostalgia. And the faces are Ashley Simpson, Paris Hilton, Ashanti, and Selma Blair. It came out today. It is brilliant. It is chef's kiss.
What is, like, literally what is going on? I swear to God, I was at the mall the other day. I was in Nordstrom and I was like looking around and I truly felt like Robin Williams in Jumanji. I was like, what year is it? Like, it was...
Did you see J Brand? Were there J Brand flared jeans?
There were J Brand Love Story jeans, low rise. There were beaded, bedazzled belt buckles at Nordstrom.
Were there joie tops?
Of course, there were joie tops. Guys, I can't. I like honestly like. those outfits barely fit me back then when I was like 110 pounds. They definitely don't fit me now. Like I'm toast. What do I wear?
It's all coming back. Like I thought like Balenciaga remaking JNCO jeans was the end of it, and it's not. Like coming. we're gonna fully enter jeans over dress territory or dress over jeans.
Did you defend Katie Holmes when she wore that? You liked that look, didn't you?
No, that's the thing. Everybody put me on a side. I was just so off put by it.
Me too.
Off put is a nice thing to say.
I thought I had come across a picture from literally 2003.
Not
just because of the dress over jeans, because she looked good. She looked very young.
Very young.
So it's like, wait, this picture is current? And I was just
shocked.
Oh, sure, cool. And that was another TikTok tangent that's, I don't know, Katie Holmes has like reaped benefits for me on TikTok, and I don't know why. I feel like she hasn't really made a movie or done a show in quite some time. But any kind of insight into her psyche, people seem to want to like lap it up like soup. It's wild.
I'm desperate to know.
Shout out, Katie.
I want to know her like day to day. I want to know about Suri Cruz. Like, I need to know these things. I need to know about
Suri's like 16 now. So
yeah, is she on TikTok?
She couldn't be. No, not Fox. There's no way Katie would allow that. Tom would shut that down. Scientology would shut that down real quick.
It's so freaky to me. Does she ever see Tom Cruise? I'm asking, like, you know them very intimately.
I feel like she was fully extricated.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just like she's like, this is cut off. I am no longer your wife. She is no longer your child. Goodbye forever. Like,
yeah.
So good. Okay. So now you work. What's the current work situation? We need to get like your full work history. I need to know where you've ended up now.
So, your resume. After starting a jewelry company, that was good. We launched in September 2019, which was great timing right before the pandemic.
Yes.
So kind of pivoted into high-end custom pieces, custom like lab grown diamond pieces.
Beautiful.
And then I was kind of doing freelance marketing and brand consulting. And right now I do marketing for Harvest Inn just because we've worked together before. And then also just, I guess I'm a TikToker. My manager called me a cultural critic. You're a cultural critic.
That's beautiful. Perfect.
I had several, I'm kind of a repeated fashion expert on Access Hollywood. Based on homosexual sense memory. So I come on there repeatedly to talk about, you know, trends for award shows. I think I'll be doing an Oscars recap for them next week of the things I'd like to do, like the after party.
You really should have your own fashion, like television show, yeah, like on E or something.
I predict you're going to be huge, huge.
Because people always tell me these things, but the people they compare me to, actually, I find insulting. They'll be like, oh, you're like Wendy Williams. I'm like, like an erratic cokehead.
I didn't really get that at all. I was gonna say that you're in like probably. I would say that you're like a modern like Joan Rivers. Like
that's the one I like. But I get Wendy Williams. I get Paul Mooney, who I was just like a very specific offshoot of like Dave Chappelle ran. Like an old specter of black women. Like they're like, you remind me of Paul Mooney. I'm like, in what world, ma'am? Like,
white people say these things?
Yeah.
Okay, white. Well, like a white person would be like, "You remind me," and then just name any black person that like exists.
Jerome Bettis. Right.
They're like, you're just like Samuel L. Jackson. I'll tell you.
Exactly.
Oh my god. Anyway,
no, but I can see you with like I can see like somebody redoing that. What was the name of that show? I forget. Of Fashion the Joan Police. Rivers. Yeah, like you could do a Fashion Police. You've got the opinions and the comedy without the horrid offensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what actually like the death of Fashion Police. Like they say, every time a new Supreme rises, the old Supreme falls, or vice versa. The death of Fashion Police beget the rise of Zendaya. Because Zendaya wasn't widely known until Juliana Rancic said that her hair smells like weed and patchouli when she wore dreads to like the 2015 or 16 Oscars. Before then, she was a Disney girl, but then Zendaya clapped back at her ass real fucking quick. Everybody's like, who is this black girl that's like beautiful and looks like a model? And just like, ooh. And now Zendaya is America's sweetheart, and Juliana Rancic is somewhere in the ballet.
Literally, where is she?
She's everywhere. She's nowhere. She's scampering. She's in the in-between and the upside down all at once. Although I did go to RPM State once, and it was not bad.
Okay. That's fair.
I can't believe that you. I like literally haven't even heard the name Juliana Rancic. She was like literally in all of our heads for like five full
that
years.
That little bobblehead. That little.
And like nobody can even bring her back. Think about the power she had. She used to be on par with Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest is very scarily powerful. Like I don't understand. He looks like any random like dad
he
at my
male
kid's
Ellen.
School. Yeah, he is
he
male
is
Ellen.
The male Ellen.
He's the male Ellen.
Okay, since we're talking comparisons, this is kind of weird, but we watched Wild Wild West for the podcast this week, and I noticed something very upsetting. Little Nas X, whom I love, he really ripped off Cisco's whole aesthetic and brand. What do you think?
I mean, everything is a ripoff. Everything any child born after 1985 does in 2023 is a fucking ripoff of something else. Olivia Rodrigo dresses like the fucking Spice Girls, whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
and
true.
Now we have the B2K, BB Mac, O Town coming back up at all. Like, you couldn't be born after the millennium and do anything original. And I said it. And I said what I said.
So you did.
No, that's
23-year-olds come for me.
100%, 100% true. Like there are no original things to see or write or do or say any longer. There's not.
Because they had just separated Black people entirely. And then it was called the Black Charts up until 89. It was like the US Black Charts. Like Janet Jackson has had
89.
Like I was a sentient human being when it was still called the Black Charts. And then it got moved to rhythm and blues, which is why I find it offensive when Justin Bieber wants to be put in the R&B category, because it is literally, and for previous like legal reasons, a Black category. But it's like, it's the epitome of like, again, these 90s kids not knowing where their shit comes from. It's like you're actually saying something that's kind of offensive, but he's being held together by, you know, psychiatry and scotch tape. So God bless him.
Literally, he could go at any minute. I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, he is about to go.
He's going to die. I got a
He just canceled his own tour.
Yeah, like he's literally this close to just being canceled. Like something's going to happen.
What's going on with him and Hailey? Like I honestly, I'm like, I'm too old to understand the Hailey, the Hailey Bieber of it all.
She's so happy that Raquel slept with Tom.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Hailey Bieber is like, oh, Hailey Bieber just sent 19 dozen roses to Raquel. Like she's like, thank you so much. The FYPs have just completely changed overnight.
That's true.
I mean, honestly, I have to kind of give it to these Vanderpump kids for like working overtime, because like that show was BLA around COVID, around
100%.
Stassi and Kristen got fired for being racist, and then like three more of them were racist. Basically, just like a big racism culling of all of them during this.
They were like,
time.
Who is the most racist? We're going to go down the line and kind of pick you off till we have nobody left.
If they really went deep enough on Twitter, it probably would have been nobody.
Peter would be left, I guess.
I'd rather watch racism than that.
Honestly,
seeing his face on that camera, I'm like, oh my God, why? Please, no.
Every time he pops up, I'm like, jump scare. Like, got so scared of him.
It's because he's the human personification of like the passage of time without progress.
You're so right.
Like, everyone else has progressed in some sense, like got married, divorced, bought a home.
Podcast has, like, books.
Old Peter.
Not Peter.
That bar, sir.
He's like, folding those napkins.
Taking pictures with the guests.
Folding napkins, using BBM. Like, it's just very scary.
Literally, the world will end and, like, the rubble, like, it will just be the sir sign hanging and then Peter being like, hey, you guys want a selfie with me?
Peter being like, what's your BBM?
When the singularity kills us, it'll be Peter the cockroaches and sir. It'll be, that'll be it.
Honestly,
Sloan and I were just talking about how, like, sir probably just looks like when you're at like a Cheesecake Factory at this point, like,
and smells like a water park. Ugh.
Yeah, like what is going, she really let that go down. It's like Hard Rock Cafe.
The weirdest part about all that is like the original, like remember it was like Villa Blanca's for your wife and source, but Villa Blanca is dead. It's not, it's, we drove by it a couple days ago in Beverly Hills and it's like closed. So like the original classy Lisa Vanderpump restaurant is no more, and she now is basically like the overseer of a cheesecake factory empire.
Literally, it's like a rainforest cafe. It's like,
she presides over the rainforest cafe of tacitly racist reality stars. Like, it's right. Like that.
I'm surprised that there isn't a gift shop at Sir yet.
Yeah, how is there not? Like a prize gift shop. There has to be. You can take home like the goat cheese balls.
I would love that. I mean,
a goat cheese ball keychain is kind of like, that'd be kind of cute. Just like to show people, like, look, you know what I like.
Do you, so Blakely, what Housewives do you watch?
I give all of them a chance. I am a large fan of Beverly Hills because I just think it's like the crown jewel. Because, like, it's kind of supposed to be. They all kind of are Housewives, and they all actually are to varying degrees wealthy. Mm-hmm. So I think that OC was maybe the first 10 seasons, but then it got way too Trumpy. Like, people denying COVID and just all like, I can't watch as much patients because in one sitting. I'm not going to do it. I really, really am loving the resurgence of Miami. I think Miami is really firing on all cylinders.
It's amazing.
Love that. I love Larsa Pippen and her third face and her fourth body.
Love.
And her delusion. Because I said at the beginning of the year on TikTok, delusion is the word of 2023. And Larsa Pippen is delusional.
It's the only way to be. Like, I'm trying to become more delusional. Each day I try harder to just make my ego big enough and I can just live inside my delusions and like no one can tell me shit. But like I still have shame inside me and I can't get past it.
You gotta get rid of that. You gotta get rid of that. Because right? Baby, that's American politics now. I truly believe that NBC Universal ushered in our current American state because you know why? They gave us Donald Trump and they gave us the Housewives. Back when people used to debate, they used to debate and have like points and counterpoints. There was this whole thing of like proving someone wrong or changing someone's mind. Mm-hmm. And now it's no.
Yeah.
Now you operate like a housewife where I come in with my fucking viewpoint and you could tell me the sky is blue. Gravity is real, and baby, if that's gonna fuck up my viewpoint or my feud, I will do moral and physical and logical pretzels to maintain my position until we both fucking die.
All of a sudden, you're doing the
maybe I am like that then because I feel like I'm when I start lying and I keep lying, it's like I'll never tell you that I have lied. So, like, now I'm doing horrible, horrible, deeply wrong things, but I'm like. But you don't know I lied.
I call it trumping. I call it trumping when you know something's a lie, but you just repeat it enough times. Like it's like true. I do it now. It's I find it's my personal moment of like kind of like Black History like kind of rebellion is that I'll just keep saying it's Black History Month because you're gonna challenge me. No, you're not.
That's actually funny.
That is so funny. You need to get on TikTok and say that. Can you do that?
Because... I say it all through June, July. I'm like, it'll be like June. I'll be like, I'd have some of your Black History Month free cookies, right? I went to Soho House and I was like, you have those free cookies for Black members. And it would be like, it's middle of summer. Somebody looks at me and I look at him and he looks at me. It's like, you're not. Like, if you know, are you going to risk it? No, you're not.
I'm going to do this with my Judaism. Not. This is so brilliant.
Exactly.
That's
it's always Yom Kippur. It's always the high holidays.
How do you know it's not?
How do you know? Shabbat's Thursdays. Now we changed it.
Oh, you want me? Do you want me to call this place anti-Semitic? They're anti-Semitic here.
What are you gonna do?
You could literally tell me any day was any of those, and I wouldn't know.
I'm Jewish, and I wouldn't know. So I know you won't know.
You have to be bold, truly sure of yourself, which most people aren't. And then on top of that, really fuck. And I've yet to meet the Caucasian that was going to really challenge.
That's going to challenge you, yeah.
Wow.
I sometimes at work will just receive. Are you familiar with the Phaedra, the Phaedra Parks monologue at the reunion about the ejaculating in the cup, like husband?
What?
You're unlocking another memory, which I haven't pressed, but yes.
I don't remember the full monologue, but it's something like, she's like, but what you will know is that your husband ejaculated in a cup so he could afford a medium-sized pizza. And then and she goes on for this like minutes-long monologue and it just like burns the other housewife. And I sometimes just recite that at work just so people like walk away from me.
So smart. That is so frightening.
You have to.
You've really convinced me to just like live in my delusions full force and then they will become my truths. Brilliant. Thank you.
That's perfect.
Exactly. That's where everybody else is living.
So
are
true.
You going to watch the new Orange County now that we've like got the other ladies back?
No. I mean, I'm done. I'm done. Wow. Vicky, Tamara, they had their time. They're kind of like the Ramona Singers of the world. It's like we could, in a pre-Black Lives Matter world, be okay with some of the stuff they were doing because they were kooky, but like post-Black Lives Matter,
it's too dark. Oh, yeah, it's like,
does this bitch understand science or gravity or like that the world is round? That's not cute anymore.
What about the New York what about the New York reboot? Will you watch that?
Well, for the New York reboot, love it. Love Jenna Lyons. I actually interviewed her for Culture Magazine, so she is amazing. Uba is also another one. She's a former supermodel that now is an entrepreneur, that she's super cool. I love that. I love anything. I also think they should like not just integrate them, but just add gays to them. Like gays as housewives, because housewife now has no meaning or gender.
Literally, you know? No, like there are so many of them that aren't wives. They don't live in houses. It's like nothing. It's like nobody, none of this makes any sense. Just put people in a group.
Yeah. But the Miami housewives work because they actually are real friends. They have real friendships. That's, I think, something else that is really nice to see on that franchise. So like, can you just put, I guess if you put a group of friends together, that's just the show Friends.
It builds after a while though, because if you think about it, like the original New York housewives didn't really know each other besides maybe like Jill and Ramona. And then, but the problem is it has to build to 4 or 5 seasons where those animosities and those things become real. Because in any Bravo show, like they say, like the fight isn't about what's happening. The fight's about the show.
Yeah,
like the fight, you know, on Summer House with Kyle and Hannah, again, who I'm friends with Hannah. The fight wasn't about the show. The fight's about, oh, now I have a girl that came in season 3, has more followers than me, and has sold a podcast. But like, she's on the show because I made it possible for her to be here. There's like,
Are you watching Summer House?
I am currently watching Summer House.
Yeah. What is going on with it? Like, what is this different shift of like feeling we're getting? Because they're not actually friends.
No, because Kyle and not Kyle.
Carl and Lindsay.
Carl and Lindsay are completely different people.
They're like literally 180.
Yeah, Lindsay's whole value is being activated and being drunk and being aggressive, and like I think they're both aggressively pushing for a wedding spinoff of them as a couple, which would be boring as fuck.
Oh,
like, not saying Carl being sober is boring, but Carl in a relationship and sober is boring as fuck. And her trying to turn her down being a crazy bitch because she wants to be. And I don't say bitch in a derogatory way. It's International Women's Month, but I'm a bitch. She's a bitch. We know we're bitches. Like
she would say that. I think she would say that. Yeah. Like
But they're like trying to play the wedding spinoff game in a house that is supposed to be built on functional chaos, and everybody's like, what the fuck is this? And also like, you're not interesting.
It's
you're like, you're going on nature walks and get turkey. Like, why are we wasting fucking screen time on this?
Why are they getting paid like, for this?
You say babe one more time, I will literally slam my head through the screen and end myself.
It's true. I bet you she wants to be a housewife. I bet you she wants to.
No, that crossover I would pay for. Lindsay and the New York Housewives. Because then she just has a whole new group of people that like don't know her, where she's not really the alpha. Because the problem with her now is like she's accumulated too many enemies. Where before she could like kind of like divide and conquer with an Amanda or with a Paige or with a Sierra. Those girls are all like now like, fuck this bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't fight them all alone.
Guys, I don't even watch this show, and just from being like on like all of the Bravo subreddits, I somehow know everything you're talking about. That's like, why do I have this knowledge in my head? It's like so useless. I don't even watch the show.
Bravo, I think, is doing a really good. I felt like Bravo for like 2 years was really sinking, and I just feel like it's coming back. Even though like Summer House like isn't really that interesting this season, but I feel like Bravo feels good right now.
Bravo feels right.
You have Miami. You have the whole upcoming Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip to Thailand. That's going to be a fucking mess.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I think Winter House is going to actually be crazier than Summer House. You have Beverly Hills, which has gone crazy. You're getting arrested. You have Salt Lake City, which I don't watch, but also know everything about. Because people are going to jail. You know what it is. Yeah. Bravo right now encapsulates that. Seminal Chris Jenner quote is like, stop taking selfies, your sister's going to jail again. And like, that is all of Bravo, because people are fucking going to jail
and they're going to like spas. Yeah, no, it's so true.
I'm obsessed with that. Okay,
can like, Jen Shaw's going to like federal prison, like for a
prison.
No, that's like really scary, but I bet you think she'll get out in 6 months. Yeah,
like, do you think she'll just get out like soon?
No, she'll be in there.
No.
She could dig her way out, I guess.
It's not going to be like a Judice thing where she gets out like in 6 months.
She was in jail for several years.
Was it multiple years?
Yeah, dude. It was like 3 years. Oh my God, that's a long time.
What was I doing during those 3 years?
Living your life.
Honestly, yeah.
Look over here.
Literally.
Look over here, gang.
Okay, so Blakely, you're one of your most recent TikToks was about the return of hot Jake Gyllenhaal. Can we land briefly on that for a second? Because I would like to talk about that picture, that video.
Because I think Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the original internet zaddies. Like, I'm talking about, like, 9, 10, 11, when he was doing, like, Prince of Persia. When he had the body from Prince of Persia, but that movie that no one saw. And then I think Ryan Gosling kind of took over that with the Hey Girl memes from 2011, 2012. And then when kind of true internet culture happened, he kind of got left behind. He was doing a lull, trying to do serious films, not being known for his body, yada, yada, because all these male actors want to be serious actors. But then I think now it'll be, like, Pedro Pascal, who is, I think, hitting peak P-I-Q-U-E.
I'm very peaked.
That's all of a sudden, like, Roadhouse, like, behind-the-scenes shots start, like, flowing out. And it's interesting, too, because my friend Julie used to style Jake, and now she styles Pedro. So, like, she styled both of them, but they're, like, peak zaddy time. So
she's touched
like,
both of them.
Pedro drank your milkshake, babe. Wow. To quote, there will be blood.
I am very interested in Pedro's fashions because I feel like he is like, I love seeing his like red carpet looks because I think they're fun and he takes risks and they're interesting. But then when I see him off duty and he looks like, again, any dad at my kid's school, that's like the magic of him. I truly believe.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, oh. I call this, it's a specific sexual niche that I call target dadding. When it's like, when I go to a Target, I am obsessed with like the Target in-house brand male models that wear like curtains and plaid. It's like, if you could like drive a
polo shirt,
you can drive a Volvo, it's like a polo shirt, you can camp, you can fucking pack a cooler, you've been to therapy, you have like a Volvo hybrid, that is the thing.
Can you stop that turning me on? What are you doing? Like, this is
Blakely.
You've been to like, you know,
a little
I mean?
Belly? Like a little
a
belly?
Little belly?
No, I'm too, I'm no. Come back.
Okay, sorry.
I got body positivity. There was this TikTok today where this girl was like, oh my God, Pedro Pascal's chest freckles. Like, how could he get any cuter? And then the comments were like, girl, those are liver spots, like those are age spots, like, and this girl is like going on and on about his freckles. I'm like, yeah, like this is a 50-year-old man, like my baby, like this 50-year-old man, but he is, yeah, it's target dadding, it's the hottest thing.
It's target dad,
but Jake doesn't have that dad quality of a Pedro.
No.
Jake has
no,
always
because,
been
no. Yeah, Jake has a little more je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, he's like your artsy, the guy you date in college, the film guy.
Jake is also a career actor and a career celebrity. Like, I think his dad was an actor or a director, his mom was a producer. So he's like Jake, Jonah Hill, Jake Gyllenhaal, Jonah Hill, and like Adam Levine all like grew up together, like in it.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a weird way where they can never truly target dad because like their dad was never a target dad. Their dad was like.
Would you say that Jake Gyllenhaal is like our generation's George Clooney?
No. How dare you? No, God, no.
I can't think of he's like I don't know what Jake is like. I want to be there.
What I
him,
meant like, was like that he'll be like single. He'll just almost be like single until he's in his 50s, and like he's like in a lot of movies, but he's always like still Jake.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it's hard being Clooney, that handsome.
Better actor. I think he's a way better actor than Clooney.
You're saying he doesn't disappear into the roles the way that you would like to see him disappear.
No, I just mean like how Clooney was just always like a handsome guy at an award show. And like was just always kind of
actually,
single.
Then yes. You know what? I take that back. But yes, I think he is this generation's George Clooney. Because George Clooney is like, you know, AARP now. I'm not going to say old.
That's what I'm saying.
What is
no,
old?
Yeah.
Time
that's
is
the
relative.
Thing.
But
right.
He's
and Taylor
60,
Swift didn't write a song about him.
Not yet, anyways.
George Clooney?
Yeah, no, Taylor Swift didn't make an album about George Clooney yet, so.
She should.
Imagine? That would be like.
She should.
If Raquel wants to get off the internet, then it would be Taylor and George.
Okay, Blakely, if you had to choose a dad to bed right now, are you going Jake or are you going Pedro? And why?
Pedro. Pedro.
Are you a Pedro girly like I'm a Pedro girly?
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Like, okay, so like
that could be like long term. Like that's like a marriage, like a marriage. Well,
I want to marry him. I want to wake up in like the crook of his arm, and I want to go get pancakes together. I don't even like pancakes. I want to bake him bread. I want to do everything with this man. I want to live. I have a lovely husband. I've been with him for 18 years. I want to leave my husband.
And her husband is like very attractive.
My husband's a very handsome Latino man, and I want to leave him for a different one because I am like,
you're playing within type, so that makes sense. You know,
it does like, make sense.
It's all working. It's all happening.
Yeah.
But I do. As Pedro for Jake, all because you know what? Jake is like a pretty boy that like knows he's pretty and that's always been pretty. So he can never truly be selfless. He can never truly put me first. And like that's the thing. Like I gotta put me first.
Pedro would love your bumps. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Everything. He would love your body. Yeah. He'd be like, I love your ingrown razor line because you tried to shave your bikini line for me because like we have a date and I'm Pedro and like it's a, but like you don't have to do that. Like, I love your bush. I love that weird mole on your back that sometimes you scratch too hard and it bleeds. Like, I'm Pedro Pascal and I like that. You know what I mean?
He also has emotionally conditioned us to let us know that he can get through things, whether it's like the Mandalorian, he can take care of as a baby, a teenage girl.
Yeah.
You know, he was in like the what's it called? Gentleman's Secret Service with like Ansel, whatever that middling.
He can protect me. He can help me.
He's a bad guy. He was Oberlin Martell. He was bisexual in Game of Thrones. He got his
literal
skull crushed.
Yeah. I love him so much, you guys.
I've empathized with him in every single way. And in the past me, present me, and future me want to be fucking him because he's shown us in all timelines that he is equally viable.
I'm so sorry. I would never, I swear to God, I would never do a hate crime, but I would do a hate crime on you. If it was like between you, me, and Pedro, like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to jail.
I respect it, girl. Same.
But like he's been around. So you're kind of like a cultural impresario. I'm happy we landed on Pedro for all the reasons, and I'd love to land right on his lap with my pants off. But how, like, he's been around. Why just now are we like Pedro Pascal? I think he's a Chinese spy at this point. Like, how has this happened? What is it? Please tell me.
You have to work your way into it. If you look back, like Pedro's been around since like Buffy. Yes. Like, he's also aging like a fine one. If you look at young Pedro Pascal, like, I don't want to pass that. Like, a 25-year-old Pedro
it
Pascal.
It really is so different. Even, like, Game of Thrones Pedro is, like, a very different Pedro.
I did see an edit where they put a mustache on young Pedro, and I was like, it's better, but old Pedro.
Yeah, like, Pedro, I need the wrinkles. I need the rough
hair. Yeah, that little clay face. I need that little clay face.
I need the 70s future. I need to know you've lived life and you can take care of me. And again, come a four-step-based apocalypse. Or intergalactic travel, or just me wanting a water with 17 ice cubes at 2:30 a.m.
Carcass out.
Who knows?
You're gonna come through. Where's the Dorit? She's going to jail next. That's my prediction. You're next, Dorit. You're next.
Why would you say it?
Sweet baby Dorit
because
is like
it needed to be said, and now we've said it because no one's ever made that much money being George Michael's manager.
No, you're so right. No, you're
I have insider tea I will share with you privately about some of the girlies. I'm from Miami, and so I have Miami girly tea, and people are going to be in trouble. That's all I'll say.
Oh, I'm so excited for Lisa Hoxton and how we're going to go to jail too.
Oh my God. I
look so good on her.
My true opinion is that Lenny is trying to protect their assets, and he is I think he has so many lawsuits headed his way that he's trying to very publicly flame their marriage to make it look like it's on purpose that they're getting divorced and it's not some sort of financial cover up. Something is happening there. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because you don't like encourage women that vehemently to have children to be like blow it up. Like that's just fucking
no, the way that he's like yeah, the way that he's like, no, do you, he's like, look at me. Do you understand what I'm doing? You need to leave this house. Do you get it? And she's like, why are you being so mean to me? And he's like, look at me, Lisa. You have to leave.
I think he's trying not to implicate her. I think he's trying to keep her in the dark and make her look like an idiot, but he's actually protecting her so she doesn't know. She can't get in trouble.
Well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work if she's actually an idiot. Not saying she's
I know. No, I know that's
true.
The thing.
That's true. Thing. I think he's just, I think he's
You're just
too,
hurting her feelings.
Well, I think that he's too worried that she's too sweet and simple to be able to hold a story together in a court of law and retell it so many times. So he's like, yeah. He's like, I gotta just.
He's almost like
play into the
Joe Giudice being like, look at my, oh, my bitch wife is coming.
My bitch wife. Oh my God. That's so crazy.
Good God.
Well, all right. We've got to wrap this up. This has been amazing.
I can talk to you forever.
This is fun. I literally want to come back and actually do Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay.
Literally come on anytime you want.
We can go around the horn. Talk about the Chavez Gambino remake, Phoebe Waller-Bridge leaving, Maya Esper replacing her, Nicole Kidman being the original person for Angelina Jolie. All the things.
Look, you tell us when you have time and where you're coming back on the show for Mr. or Mrs. Smith. You heard it here first, folks.
I love that. Okay, well, this has been, I mean, amazing. Thank you for
I mean, no, it's been so easy and
we
perfect. Thank you so much.
Can you tell people where to find you, please?
You can find me at Blakely Thornton on Instagram and also TikTok. You know, I'm going to have opinions. If there's one thing I'm going to do, it's going to be have an opinion. So, enjoy or don't.
Your TikToks are so funny and so, like, attention-grabbing.
Yeah, guys, definitely. I followed that. He's here today because I followed him. I was like, this guy makes me just laugh. They're all the opinions are correct. And Zach, where can they find you and us?
You can find us at Mommy Dearest Podcast on Instagram. And you can find me at Zach Mellon on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter.
Love it. Okay, you guys can find me outside Pedro Pascal's apartment being carted off by the police. Blakely will be there too. We'll both be.
But not if you find me there first.
I'm headed there right now. And you can find me at I Am Sloane Steele on pretty much everything and at Oh My Erotica on Instagram. And that's all. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
Because what you will know is that he needed $10 to get him a medium-sized pizza, so he ejaculated in a cup so you could have a kid. Now check that.